Good evening. It's so glad to be back this evening to worship with the brothers and sisters here at North Jefferson. If you're a guest, we're so glad to have you with us this evening. I like to come up with creative points or names for my sermon. And I want it to be something that's eye-catching, but not something that's crazy. You know, we'll look on Facebook and sometimes somebody will have baptism isn't necessary for remission of sins. And it's somebody that knows better. So you click on the link and it's one of those gotcha. Like, now that I've got your attention, here's what I want to talk about. It's like, oh, come on. So I'll try to come up with something good for a sermon. And I had something I thought was pretty good, and I sent it over to Joan. And Joan came over. She said, what are you talking about? And I was like, well, you see, here's what I'm wanting to, let's just call it 3 points about trees. So that's what the sermon is going to be about, 3 points about trees. There are different types of trees in the Bible. Jesus cursed the fig tree. Zacchaeus climbed a tree so he could see Jesus better. They even put a branch in the water to make the water taste better after the Exodus. But we're going to be talking about three trees this evening. And it's interesting how these trees are lined out, because you have a tree that is at the very beginning. You have a tree in the middle that affects everything. And then you have a tree at the end. So we're going to go ahead and look at that first tree. A tree was involved in the entry of sin into humanity. A tree was involved in the entry of sin into humanity. The beauty of the first two chapters of Genesis is how our Almighty Creator, God the Father, made everything perfectly for man. We don't ever see Adam having to till the land. We don't see Adam having to do anything but maybe wake up and pick delicious fruit. We read of any rain until Noah's time. Imagine how lush the Garden of Eden must have been. Genesis 2 is the most significant to read in light of chapter 3, because we see everything that has been laid forth for mankind. In chapter 3, though, Satan convinced the woman that God was holding something good from her by prohibiting her from eating of the forbidden tree. With Satan's prompting, Eve became convinced of her need to know good and evil and felt compelled to eat the fruit of the forbidden tree. Now let's look back again. We see a God that has created everything that we needed. He created everything for us. He had animals for mankind to be over. He had all of these different types of trees that produced so many different types of fruit. And the only rule that he put out, leave these alone. Everything else is yours, but leave these alone. He had prepared everything for mankind. Yet we look to chapter 3, and Eve was convinced that he didn't prepare them enough. You know, we can make a New Testament application to that, can't we? We see that God has given us the Bible, yet we still find people that want to add to the Bible. Or maybe are even superstitious. That will say, and we found brethren that, we were at the Make Me a Servant lectures yesterday. And one of the speakers said he knew a brother in Christ that if he was driving down the road and a black cat ran across the street, he would stop his truck, turn it around, and go miles around so he wouldn't cross the path of that black cat. You know, there are so many different superstitions. You look at some of the pregame rituals that athletes have and the different things that they do, but when we understand that none of that matters, because we're not called to be superstitious. We're putting a weight upon ourselves as if we don't trust God enough, that how many times we flick a light switch on or off, or how many steps are in a stairway. And there are even some hotels that will say, here is the 12th floor and here is the 14th floor. But let's be real. If you're on the 14th floor, you know you're on the 13th floor. But we find all sorts of things like that. And we have to understand that God has prepared something beautiful for us. Let's look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9. If you'll turn with me there. At every point of legitimate need, God provided. At every point of Adam and Eve's need, God provided. In Genesis 2:9, and out of the ground the Lord made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God produced a tree. God produced trees, and he said, don't do this. Everything else I have prepared for you. Everything else is for your good. Just don't eat from this. Some people say, well, why did God create sin? God didn't create sin. God created free will. And it was Eve and Adam that abused free will. The second type of tree that we see is the answer to sin for humanity through the cross. We find through the New Testament, sometimes it is labeled as a cross, sometimes it's labeled as a tree. Through my research and study, there are actually websites where people will argue over if Jesus was nailed to a tree or a cross. And they say that that's a contradiction, where just a little bit of study would indicate that a tree was often referred to as the wood of the cross. So we look in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 22 and 23, and we made reference to this in Wednesday night's class. 1,500 years before Jesus of Nazareth walked the earth and then died horribly on a Roman cross, the Bible had hinted to his form of death. I find this very interesting. It never really stood out to me until this week when preparing for that class. And now it sticks out like a sore thumb. It's one of those, how did I ever miss this type things? We look to Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 22 and 23. And if a man has committed a crime punishable by death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you shall bury him the same day, for a hanged man is cursed by God. You shall not defile your land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance. With this passage, while this passage does not prophesy specifically about Jesus, the passage does signal that a curse is upon one who dies on a cross. And that is another reference that could be referring to the Roman crucifixion. Peter bears this out in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. We see that he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you've been healed. We see that Jesus died on the tree. If you look at the context there in Deuteronomy, just a few verses previously, you see about an unruly son, a rebellious son. What were they to do to rebellious sons? Stone them with rocks. You look in Acts, in the book of Acts, when Stephen is killed, do they hang him to a tree? Killed him with rocks. They stoned him. That was the way the Jews normally killed people. This could be an emphasis of going forward, but we look at what Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Paul, quoting this, was referring to the death of Jesus of Nazareth. Oftentimes we can question, what did the Old Testament mean with this? But it sure makes it a lot easier when a New Testament person like Peter quotes it, doesn't it? You can look in Joel chapter 2 and you read it, it's like, not quite sure who's being spoken about here. Yet we turn to Acts chapter 2 and Peter quotes it. Aha! He was talking about Jesus. He was talking about the Messiah that was to come. But we look in Galatians chapter 3 verses 13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that he might receive the promised Spirit through faith. The beam that Jesus was made to carry in John chapter 19 and verse 17, and that Simon from Cyrene carried for him later after Jesus collapsed in exhaustion, Luke 23:26, was most likely the cross piece that was later affixed to an upright pole that was already in place. Sometimes we have this vision of Jesus having to carry the total cross. Well, that could be the case. It would also make sense to consider that bloodthirsty Romans would want to make things as efficient as possible. So I imagine they might have already had the logs that were standing, and then they would bring those to be crucified, nail them on there, lift them up, and just put it in a notch, put it in its place. But It's up for debate, of course. If we look to Acts chapter 5, verses 29 through 32, Acts chapter 5, verses 29 through 32, we see the apostles standing firm for Jesus. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, who you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." We're witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey. His wording was intentional. These Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, knew about the verse in Deuteronomy, "Cursed is the man that hung on a tree." I believe that Peter deliberately used this. And it made the Sanhedrin so angry. The Pharisee council wanted to kill him right then and there. But Gamaliel stopped them. A little bit of future, we find that Paul